We're going to begin. The goal of today's share is going to be a little technical in the beginning, but by the time we finish, it should be something very interesting and should help you to say that, and even every day. Everyone take a look, and anyone who, with your computer, we're going to use the chat option a lot, because this will be very interactive this year. Look at Tehillim Kufay. I'm going to read the first passage which you'll know by heart. Hodu Lashem Kiru Bishmo, Hodi Bamim Alilotav. Thank God, praise God, call His name, tell all the nations all the wonderful things He does. Now, is that sentence, but I want you to answer me on Shedit, and if many people you want to can answer back, is that opening line, would you consider that a statement or a command? So use your chat and tell me whether you think it's a statement or a command. Okay, I got one statement there. Any other opinions? Okay, I got command. I'll take a vote in a minute. Okay, there you go. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to begin with what Roy said, using the Hebrew word tzav. I think what Roy's picking on is that there's a, in Hebrew, this is called Lashon Tzivui. The pasuk is written in command form. And even though there might be an implicit statement that, you know, it's good to praise God, but this seems to be a command that we're supposed to praise God. Now look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk, Shiru lo zamru lo tich b'chon mitzvotav. How would you say that is? Is that a command or a statement? Pasuk bet. Sing to him, praise him, call out, talk about his praises. Okay, obviously that's another command. Now what I want you to do now is keep on reading. Okay, keep on reading and figure out who is being commanded. We say this every morning. And we have the first several lines that are commands. I want you to figure out, read on a little bit, and try to figure out, based on these psukim, who is being commanded to do this? Is this a commandment for all mankind, for one person, for something? Follow the lines and figure out who's being commanded, and when you figure that out, just write me what pasuk it is. What pasuk in the perek, or the answer, either the pasuk or the perek, or the answer, who's being commanded? Okay, but use the. Okay, so if you look in, okay. So I got pasuk 6, 7, and 8. I guess it depends how we have okay. So we're going to deal with pasuk Vav. And pasuk Vav, what's it say? Everything till there, there's a parenthetical comment in pasuk Gimel about those who look for God should be happy. But pasuk Dalet is, again, a command. Pasuk Hay is a command. Okay. What's Roy saying? One second. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. It's not just Yishayahu. There's more. Okay. We'll get back to Roy in a second. But look at the pasuk in pasuk Chet. In pasuk Vav, I'm sorry. In verse 6. Okay. Zera Avram Avdo B'nichay B'chirov. According to the simple meaning of this parak, which we basically found as the header, is the person or the people being commanded to praise God, or Zer Avram Avdo, the seed of Avram, his servant, remember that word Avdo, Ben Yaakov Bechirav, the children of Yaakov who he had chosen. Now, this idea of chosenness, you know, these are lines and things every day. One of the goals of this year is to appreciate how powerful and on the mark Tehillim is. If you study Sefer Bereshit, Roy was talking about Yishayahu, I'm going to go back to Bereshit for a minute, which was the source text for most of Yishayahu, is that we have this concept of the Jewish people being chosen, and here we have two basic concepts. One, the chosenness of the Jewish people, Bnei Yaakov Bechirov, but also Zer Avram Avdo, Avram his servant. And that idea that the Jewish people were chosen to serve God is one of the key points in Chumash, not only in Bereshit, but also in Shmot. And one of the statements we make at the Seder, in fact, that's the way we begin the story, Mitchila Ovdei Avodas Arayi Vatenu, our forefathers were once coming in the world of idol worship, V'achshav Kirvana Makom L'Avodato, God brought us closer to Him in order to serve Him. Or like we say in Asav HaChatanu every Yom Tov,
Now,
You brought us closer to you in order to serve you and both. And your name is resting on us. If you remember even the Dayenu, one of the Dayenus that we say is, if you only brought us close to Har Sinai, it would be enough to say thank you. It's being brought close to God, or bring the Kiyafsan Makinu, the Kiyafsan Makinu Al-Rotecha, God brought us closer to him in order to serve him. That's going to be a big concept. But here we see the combination of them. What are we saying? The nation that God chose to serve him, what do they need to do? They're commanded to sing God's praises. Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo. Now, I want to go back a second and go to that phrase Kiru Bishmo. If we're going to go back to what Roy was saying about Yishayahu. Wouldn't we have that concept of Kriya Bishmo? Oh, first let's translate it. I'm going to give two possible translations. I'm going to write them in the chat and then you tell me which one you prefer. Right? Calling out Hodu Hashem, praise him, Kiru Bishmo, calling his name. I can understand it as calling to God, or calling. I can say Kriya B'Shem Hashem can be calling to God, which is like prayer, or calling about God. Now, in this context, what makes more sense? Okay, like what Tov is saying, if we follow Avram Avinu, several times in Sefer Bereshit, Avram goes to his bath and calls out Kriya B'Shem Hashem. Now, in Sefer Bereshit, that what Avram did is an argument among the commentators. You see Ramban and Unklus and Rashi, they're arguing when Avram built his mizbeach, when he first made Aliyah, did he call out to God and pray about the future of the Jewish people? Or did he talk about God, like the Ramban explains? But later on in Sefer Bereshit, when he built an Eshon Beersheba there, he calls out about the name of God. You can argue what it means there, but in Tehillim, there's no doubt that it means call about God because of the parallelism. Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo Hodil Vamim Alilotav. Make his name known, Shiru Lo Zamrlo, sing about him, talk about him, etc. The idea is to make his name known, not just to ourselves, but to all mankind. And here we have a beautiful command. In fact, the opening six sukkim here are the introduction to the parak. But we have a beautiful summary of why the Jewish people are chosen. One of the reasons, at least, is that they're chosen in order to praise God. And therefore, the mizmor, the psalm in Tidin Kufay, in its opening statement, is saying the nation that God chose to serve him, they're obligated to praise him. Okay. So that's the header of the Perek in Tidin. And when I teach Tidin, I have three little guidelines, I call. Very good. What Peter's saying, I'll explain what Peter's saying. Okay, so I'm going to repeat Peter's and David's questions. They're both right on the mark. There's no doubt Kriya B'Shem Hashem has a double meaning. Chumash says this all the time. You take one phrase, and the same phrase can mean two different things, and not that one's right and the other one's wrong. It's like intentional ambiguity where both meanings are correct. And those two meanings of Kriya B'Shem Hashem are in essence what the Jewish people were about. Is it our job to cry out to God? Is being Jewish coming close to God, crying to God, turning to God when you're in trouble? And that's the main halakha of tefillah. Look in the Rambam. The main time that we're obligated to daven is when we feel in trouble. And when we're in trouble, we call out to God. And that every Jew is a Jew. He's obligated to call out to God when he's in trouble. And that's one of the main laws of the tefillah. But there's another law. There's another concept that the Jewish people call it about God. Now, in Sefer Tehillim, we're going to have both. When we call it about God, that's called Tehillah, like Tehillah le David. That's when we praise somebody. That's Aleinu le Shabeach kind of idea. It's our job to praise God and talk about God. There's also Tehillah when we call it to God. So in Sefer Tehillim, we're going to have Tefillot and Tehillot. And being Jewish is a mixture of the Tefillot and Tehillot. When you're in trouble, you call it to God. When things are going well, or when God does good to us, we praise him and thank him. Now, why only the Jewish people? That's going to be the rest of this year. David's question from Brooklyn was, this should be universal. Everyone should praise God. And we're not saying everyone shouldn't. But why specifically the Jewish people praise God and when they praise God? So we're going to see now how the parenting season continues. Remember, we say most of this every day. Okay. Pasuk, the header, the rules of Tehillim are as follows, the rules. the guideline. When you learn a parent kidding, the first thing you have to do is find the header. First question is, what's the header? And we just found the header of this parent. The header is Aleph Tavav, that the Jewish people, the God that, the nation that God chose, they're commanded to praise God. The next question is, now that you find the header, what's its structure? Now, a lot of Prakim, like Nizmo the Davi, the header can be just the first phrase. Sometimes it's the first line. But sometimes it's a word or two, sometimes it's a pasuk, sometimes it's more than a pasuk. Like in Shir HaTzadim, the first three psukim are the header. So first you find a header. Then you find what I call the structure. And there's architecture between, in almost every parak of Tehillim, there's beautiful architecture. It's not linear line by line. The structure to every parak of Tehillim. And they're beautiful. When you identify the structure, that's when their meaning comes through. And then after you find what's the header, what's the structure, then the last question is, what's the point? And usually the point of the parak of Tehillim is developed by its header and structure and the relationship between them. And we're going to do that today in our study of Tehillim Kufei. And now, in Pasuk Zayin, Hu Hashem Elokeinu b'chutz mishpatav, we're defining who is this God who we're commanded to praise. This God that we're praising is the God of all mankind, the God whose nature is everywhere, whose laws or commandments can be seen everywhere. Then we get to Pasuk Chet. Look at Pasuk Chet. Zachar l'olam b'to davar tzivra l'elator. I'll take the first phrase. Zachar l'olam b'to, God remembers his covenant forever. Now, Pasachet, is that a commandment or a statement? That's a real easy one. Let's make sure you guys are still awake. Pasachet, Zachar l'olam b'to, do you understand that as a commandment or a statement? Okay, so the answer is probably even too easy. Okay. It's obviously a statement. No. Now the question is going to be, what covenant are we talking about? So we're making a statement. That God remembers his covenant. Now, read on a little bit, and tell me, what psukim describe what that covenant is? What covenant are we talking about? Look carefully, it's real easy, but look carefully. Okay? Which psukim? Pasachet is a statement, that God remembers his covenant. Then, what psukim describe for us what covenant that referring to? Okay. Is it just 11? Look carefully. So, 11 for sure, but where does it begin from? The description of the covenant begins, from 9 exactly. Yeah. It begins with 9 and goes to 11. It's, what covenant is that God remembers, the one he made with Avraham Avinu, and swore to Yitzchak by the Akedah, and he established it with Yaakov as a statute, and Am Yisrael Vitalam telling them, I'm giving the land of Canaan, the piece of land that God set aside for us. Now, Roy mentioned that this is Brit Ben Abkarim. The cover of the pieces with Avraham Avinu. I'm going to agree with Roy. We'll see that he's right soon. But when you read it at first, you wouldn't know. There's no way to know that right away. I should cut that Avraham. I mean, the truth is, in Brit Ben Abkarim and Peres in Breshit, if you have a chumash with you, it might help you a little bit now. If you look in Sefer Breshit, Peres Tetzvav, Pasuk Yitzchet, in Breshit chapter 15, verse 18, at the end of Brit Ben Abkarim, there it says, Bayom Ahu, Karat Hashem et Avram b'temor lezarcha natati et haaretz hazot. On that day, God convened a covenant, but the word Karat Hashem Avram b'rit, the word Karat b'rit is unique there in Perek Tetzvav and Breshit, which is Brit Ben Abkarim. But we're going to see that what he's saying is not just technically right, it's thematically right. The main topic here will be Brit Ben Abkarim, and we're going to see why in a minute. Now, let's take a look now, let's review. We're making a statement that God remembers his covenant, and then we're saying, what covenant does he remember? He remembers the covenant of the parts. Now, what was it in the covenant of the parts that God needs to remember? Now, if we review, what was the main point of the covenant of the parts? What was the main thing that God's forecasting in the covenant in Brit Ben Abkarim? Again, you can use the chat again to, if God's remembering something, what did he need to remember in Brit Ben Abkarim? What did he promise there? Okay, so one thing he promised, the inheritance of the land of Israel. Now, we're going to return to that in about 10-15 minutes. And what Roy's pointing on is something really tricky. Okay. He's promising, at the end, he promises the land of Israel. But before he promises it, and the whole question of why does he promise the land of Israel, Or a bigger question, is the land of Israel a reward, right, or a vehicle? That can be such an important question, not just, you know, in the Tariq or in Chumash. It has to do with how we view the land of Israel. What is the land of Israel? Is this a reward that we get after we follow God, if we keep His laws? Or is this a tool or a vehicle that God uses in order that we fulfill our goal? That's going to be a very big question, which we hope to deal with by the time we get to the end of the Tariq. But early in Brit of Tarim, if you look in Breshit Tetzvah, what else did God promise Avram Avinu in the covenant of the parts? Okay, so he promises exile, right, and slavery, and pretty much the list goes on. I'm gonna quote for you the psukim which you probably remember by heart. In Brit Ben of Tarim, first of all, there was a key theme in the beginning in Brit Ben of Tarim where Avram's all worried. He just defeated the four kings and five kings. He's worried about his future. He has no one to give his accomplishments to. And the word Yerusha was the key word. And finally, God tells Avram, you know, look at the heavens and count the stars. And you have that many children. And your offspring will be so great. And God, Avram believes them. And then God tells Avram Avinu, he says, I'm the God who took you out of Ur Kasdim to give you this land as a Yerusha, as an inheritance. And then Avram asks the famous question, B'ma'i dachi irashena. How or when will I know, how is this going to happen? And then God puts him to sleep, and God makes this whole ceremony. And in the middle of this ceremony, after Avram is put to sleep in his prophetic dream, God tells Avram, you know, in Pasuk and Gimel as follows. Remember, Avram asked the question, "Ma'ida?" God answers him, "Yodua teda, ki geri yezaracha beretz lohem." You should surely know that your offspring is going to be strangers in somebody else's land. Remember, "Yodua teda, ki geri yezaracha beretz lohem, vavazum vinuotam avam olshana." Your offspring will be strangers in someone else's land. They're going to afflict them and enslave them as they're foreigners in someone else's land. They're going to take advantage of that, the fact that they're not citizens in that country. They're going to be afflicted and enslaved, and that time period will be over the span of some 400 years. Then we're told, that nation who are going to enslave them, they're going to be judged, and then you're going to leave Berchush Gadol, you'll leave with great wealth, but this won't happen in your lifetime, only in your lifetime, and only four generations later they'll return. Now, we'll talk about what Peter's saying in a minute, that about this exile and slavery are not just signs, they're not just signs of the Brit, they're going to be what appears to be a necessary stage in the Brit. Meaning, God chose Avram Avinu to become a nation. A nation is going to represent God. What God is telling Avram Avinu, and Brit Ben Aptarim, that's why it's so critical in Sefer Bereshit, that even though God wants a nation to represent him, God's telling Avram Avinu, to become that nation, there's a necessity to go through what Sefer Zvarim calls a Kor HaBarzel, a melting pot, where we're going to refine this nation and prepare them for their job of representing God. What we're going to see is the entire process of going down to Egypt and coming out of Egypt is going to be a process where we're going to be sort of refined and trained and learn what it is to be, what it means to serve God in many different ways, not just for one reason, for multiple set of reasons. Now again, how difficult that slavery and affliction had to be, that you can argue how well we were in that covenantal relationship. That's a whole different topic. But the need to go down to Egypt, to suffer some type of affliction, to appreciate that affliction, and then to see God's salvation and be saved by God, and then thank Him for that, that whole process, not event, but the process of redemption that begins in Brit Ben Aptarim, that concludes with coming out of Egypt, that's not going to be an accident. That's going to be part of God's master plan for choosing His nation. And we're going to see how that develops in Tehillim Kufei. Now let's go back to our Perek in Tehillim. What did we say? We made a statement that God remembers His covenant. And what covenant? The covenant He made with our forefathers. Now, if you look in Pasuk Yudbet now, up until verse 11 was where the up until Pasuk 11 is where the covenant is being described. In Pasuk Yudbet, we say as follows: V'yotam mitein mispar kimat zegarim ba. When did God make this covenant? When they were small in number, almost nothing, and strangers there. Now, that's as we say this Pasuk every day. We just don't pay attention to it. we're saying here a very interesting point. We're mentioning that this covenant that God made with Avraham Avinu, that one day you're going to be a nation that's going to represent me. But to become that nation, you have to go through this process of slavery. When was it that God forecasted this concept of a nation? When Avraham was only a single person. When the forefathers were barely a family. They were mitei mitzvah, they were a small number. Almost nothing, and strangers in someone else's land. God said, one day this land will be yours, one day you'll be a nation here, representing me. But to Avraham Avinu, it's called Zera. It's only the seed stage. If I want to use an analogy, what's happening in Sefer Bereshit and in this parak, the word Zera is so important. If you want to use an analogy from today, it's like Amito is a test tube baby. God is cloning a nation. He picks the seed from Avraham Avinu, and then he refines that seed in the test tube with Yitzchak, and then with Yaakov. And then finally, we have this embryo. We're going to implant it into Egypt, the womb, where the Jewish people are going to become a nation. And this embryo is going to grow into a baby, is going to be the nation of Egypt. They're going to carry the child. And then coming out of Egypt, there'll be like a birth process called like Chevelei Leida, Chevelei Mitzrayim. Coming, crossing the Red Sea, will be like cutting the umbilical cord in many ways. And if you know Yechezkel, Perek, I think it's Perek Zayin, which we quoted the Seder, Be'amar Lach B'damai Chayi, Be'amar Lach B'damai Chayi. I'm sure you remember because we dipped the blood there at that time. But that pasuk is from Yechezkel, which talks about how God found the Jewish people like an abandoned baby in the desert, and then brought it to Har Sinai and gave it a whole purpose and existence. But that idea of Zera Avraham Avdo, that entire idea, is very interesting. And here we have this idea, again, Kimat Zegarimba, when this brick was made, it was way before we were a nation. God wants the nation to represent him. Instead of taking a ready-made nation, instead of taking a nation that existed, that already had a land, that already had a culture, God begins with a seed. He's going to sort of clone or make this test tube baby and make this baby from scratch in order to give birth to a nation. And that entire process of making a nation is going to take 400 years, and that's been a term. Now, as we continue in the parak, the pasuk is Gimel, by Tachumi Goya Goya Macher, that's talking about, who's that talking about? That's talking about how one nation goes to another. That's talking about how one nation, how we go from one nation to another. Now, who is it talking about? In pasuk is Gimel Yudalet Tedvav. We went from nation to nation, and God didn't let anybody oppress us, etc. Who's that talking about? Okay, we say this every day. Okay. Who's it talking about? Who went from nation to nation and God didn't let anybody oppress them? Anybody want to give it a try? Okay. A lot of people, we say this every day. What Roy's saying is interesting. A lot of people think that we're talking about how B'nai Yisrael went from nation to nation, how he went from Galut to, or like to say in America, how they go from Riverdale to Teaneck, or how they, I'm joking there, but how they go from Poland to Europe, to Italy, to Germany, how we go from nation to nation, God keeps on protecting us, which is, might be true in Jewish history, but what Bill's saying is right. If you look carefully at the parable, which we're going to prove soon, it's talking about our forefathers. It's talking about how Abram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, when they were sojourning in the land of Israel, I call this, they were on a pilot trip in Eretz Canaan before going down to Egypt, God consistently protected them. What did he do? He yelled at kings when Abram had a problem with Paro, with Abimelech. God intervened and helped them and saved them when they were in trouble and told other kings, don't touch my appointed one. God yelled at Abimelech, he yelled at Paro. God rebuked Laban when Yaakov was in trouble. Okay. And we'll prove that in a minute. Because when we look at, go back to Perek Tzav, in Pasuk Gedal, I mean, in Kidum Kufei, in verse 14, in Pasuk Gedal, Lo yinich ish l'adam l'ashkam yochar chalei melachim, he didn't let anybody oppress them, and he yelled at kings about, rebuked kings about them, and said, don't touch my appointed one, and don't do anything bad to my Nevi'im, to my prophets. That's for sure talking about our forefathers. Now, if you look in the Perek, starting in Pasuk Tzav, all of a sudden it's not familiar anymore. Up until Tetzvav is pretty much what we say in davening every day. I want you to take a look now on the Perek and Pasuk Tetzayin and tell me what story is being told. Scan from verse 16. You don't have to understand every word. Just scan from verse 16 to, say, 23. Okay? Just scan for a minute. And tell me what story is being told.
And
pretty much, I call it the musical. It's the Yosef story. And I'll just go over a couple of key points of it. There was a famine in the land, in verse 16. And God sent a man in front of them, and Yosef was sold as a slave. And first he went into jail until his time came out. And then the king sent for him, and he took him out of jail. And he put him in charge of his nation. And he put him in charge of all of his ministers. That's the story of Yosef in Egypt, in a very poetic and beautiful way. And then what happened? Israel came down to Egypt. Yaakov came to the land of Ham. Egypt was the son of Ham from Noah. Okay? And then looking past the Chavdalet, Vayeter et amon lo'od that Yimehu mitzarav, what happened? The nation became very fruitful. Remember, Uvneitro paru vayirbu, v'yatzmu v'mod mod, Uvneitro became fruitful and multiplied in the land of Egypt. And then in Pasach Havhei, Hapak Liban Nitzno, then that's Vekam Melech Hadash HaMitzrayim, etc. And then Shalach Moshe Avdo, Aaron, then God sent Moshe and Aaron to save them. If you want to take a quick guess, it should be easy. Okay? What story are we telling here? What story, which began earlier, what story, step by step, are we telling? We had the story of our forefathers going from place to place. Then the story of Yosef being sold. And then the story of the enslavement beginning. And then God sending Moshe and Aaron to save them. Guess what story that is? Right? Use the chat. Okay. It's the story about going down to Egypt, that's true. Okay? Which is only part of the story. Okay? Okay? Again, it's the story of Tehillim 105, but I want to pinpoint what story should we be telling? For this way. What pasuk began this story? What pasuk in this parak was the kickoff for this story? And that'll be the key. Now we're going to figure out the structure of Tehillim 105. We're telling a story here, but it's not just the story of the Jewish people. It's not just the story of Chumash, not just the story of Jewish history. Okay? Okay, I'm sorry, yeah. Okay, Bill, I understand now, Bill. Okay? Understand my question? We're telling a story here. I want you to be specific. What story are we telling in Tehillim Kufei? Again, we talk about our forefathers being protected by God. We talk about Yosef being sold as a slave. We talk about becoming a big nation in Egypt. We talk about our enslavement beginning. We talk about Moshe and Aaron being sent. Okay. Pasuk 6 was a command that the Jewish people have to praise God. We're summing that. But there's another pasuk that began the story. Okay. In sort of like, we'll go back to pasuk 5 later on. But you guys are like ahead of the game. I want to go back to something more simpler. Okay? There's a pasuk in this parak that began this story. Which is real simple. Okay, well, I'll start with what Masha said. Let's look at pasuket. Remember pasuket? Zechar lo olam brito. God remembers his covenant forever. What covenant? We define what covenant. Pasuk 9 to 11 define the covenant. That was the covenant of the parts, brit and tarim. What are we doing now? We made a statement. What was our statement? Our statement was that God remembers his covenant. And now what are we doing? We're proving that that statement is true. And therefore, from Pasuk Tet, and from Pasuk Yud, from Yud Bet onward, from Pasuk Gimel, from verse 13 onwards, is a story of how God fulfilled that covenant. Now therefore, when should that story end? With what event? Because we have God protecting our forefathers because of that covenant. Yosef going down to Egypt being sold as a slave, and then becoming a big shot in Egypt. That's part of Brit Ben Aftarim. Am Yisrael coming down for the food. And then becoming a nation in Egypt. And then the affliction beginning in Egypt. Now, with what event should that story end? If we're saying God fulfilled the covenant. Okay? It could end with leaving Egypt. Okay? Where else could it end? Okay? It could end with returning to the land of Israel. You follow? And that's going to be the big question we have to figure out. When does Brit Ben Aftarim end, according to this Tariq? Okay, does it end in Har Sinai? Does it end with slavery? Does it end with when we come out of Egypt? Does it end when we get to the land of Israel? And we have the exact same question in our Haggadah. When we tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, when does the story end? if you're a humanist, the story ends with our freedom when we came out, when we crossed the Red Sea. If you're a yeshiva buffer, it ends in Har Sinai. If you're a Zionist, it ends when we come to Israel. If you're a if you're a temple loyalist, it ends with the temple being built. Okay, and that's sort of the, in Dayenu, we're gonna Dayenu's gonna solve that problem, because when we tell the story with Aramea Vidavim Navada, we end with the ten plagues, and then sort of with crossing the Red Sea, and then in Dayenu, that takes us from the Red Sea up to Har Sinai, past Har Sinai, into the land of Israel, building the Beit HaMikdash. And then we thank God for all that. Now, look in this parak. I want you to find, and that's the trick. Look at Tidim Kufay. The makot, you can see not all of them. Eight makot are here. Which one? That's a whole different share. From Pesach Chavzayin, from verse 27 in this parak, we have a lot of the plagues. We talk about the plagues that God sent on Egypt. The last plague is going to be what pasuk? Who can tell me what pasuk? Look in Pasuk Lamed Vav. Verse 36 is going to be the last plague. Vayach kol b'chor b'arzam, v'rashit kol l'chol onam. Vayach b'kar b'chorot. Look at Pasuk Lamed Zayin. V'yitzien b'ketzev z'ahav. He takes it out with ketzev z'ahav. What's that? Why is that pasuk there? Who can tell me? That's so easy. What's that referring to, this ketzev z'ahav that he takes it out with? Why does it have to be in the parak? Okay, that's exactly, that's the refush gadol. Again, isn't that a proof? That's a proof to Avraham Avinu. It's fulfilling the Tzedek Tarim. Then, now let's see how the story ends. Okay? Samach mitzvah v'vitzei tam ki nefafach tam alehem. And then, Pasuk Lametet is the Anan and the Eish. What part is that in? Is the Eish and Anan leading us out of Egypt? That's Parsha B'Shalach. Shalav v'yavit slav v'lechem shemayim yisbi'im. That's the story of the man, also in Parsha B'Shalach. Pasat sur v'yaduv v'mayim, Pasuk Mem Aleph. We have the rock that Moshe Rabbeinu hits. It gives water. And then look at Pasuk Mem Bet. Everyone take a look at Pasuk Mem Bet carefully. Ki zachar es bar kodesho et Avraham Avdo. Okay. Who can explain to me what Pasuk Mem Bet is doing? It's not the story, but what's Pasuk Mem Bet doing? Again? Okay. What's the function from a structure point of view? Okay. Pasuk Mem Bet is no longer a story. I'll translate Pasuk Mem Bet. Ki zachar es bar kodesho. Okay, God remembered His covenant. Okay, it's Avraham Avdo. Okay, what's it doing? It's bringing it back to the beginning. What pasuk is it closing up as far as structure goes? Okay, Pasuk Mem Bet. Ki zachar es bar kodesho. What pasuk in the beginning of the parak is it closing up? Exactly. Hey, got it? Pasuk Ches began with zachar lo olam brito. God remember. We made a statement. God remembers His covenant forever. And then we tell the story of first what that covenant was, Brit Ben Tzarim, that he made with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And then we tell how he fulfilled it. And look where we end the story. With what event did we end the story? How far do we go? From a Chumash point of view, what parsha did we get up to? In this parsha, what pasuk so far, what did we get up to? Yeah. We're up to B'Shalach. Aren't we? But we're up to Moshe Rabbeinu in the rock. In the end of Parshat, we have the member of B'Shalach, we have the Eish, we have the Amud Anan, the Amud Eish, and Kriyat Yam Suf, and we have the water, we have the Tzur B'Chorev, and the Man. We're right up to Har Sinai, but not at Har Sinai yet. Right? Okay. As far as which Makot are there, with Peter's question, when he all of a sudden he found the Makot there, there aren't 10. 2 are missing. Which 2 are missing is really fun. Again, that's the whole share. That's a show also on Tzidim Ein Chet. You have 7 of the plates in Tzidim Ein Chet. 3 are missing. Which ones are missing? Let's dedicate a separate share to that. And the order is very different. Okay? Which ones are missing? The order is amazing. It's like a lot of fun. But we won't have time for that though today. I'm going to send another link here. If you want the answers to what we just did, if you want to download that page, I don't know if you downloaded it before, it was on the website, okay, downloaded it. That's Tidim Kufay formatted, if you want to take a look at it. Everything we just did in the share is there. If you want to take a look, everything's bigger letters and highlighted and bolded. We'll talk about that page in a minute. But let's go back to our parak. Remember we said, when you study parak, what's the title? What's the header? What's the structure? The header we found. The header was the nation God chose to serve in is commanded to praise God. That's the opener. Then we have the main section of the parak, which begins with a statement. The statement is that God remembers his covenant. What covenant? The covenant of Brit Ben Abtarim. And then we proceed and tell the story of how God fulfilled the covenant. And we finish with Pasuk Mem Bet, Ki Zachar Yivar Kotsho, as Avram Avzo, Yotiyam Avis Hasson, Brinat Bechirav. Now look at Pasuk Mem Bet and Mem Gimel, and look how beautiful they are. I'm going to read the words and tell me where this is coming from. Ki Zachar Yivar Kotsho, God remembered his promise. Et Avram Avzo, Yotiyam Avis Hasson, Brinat Bechirav. God remembered his promise to the forefathers, and Avram, his servant, he took his nation out with happiness, okay, and Berina, with joy, his chosen ones. Why did the parak use specifically these words in Pasuk Mem Bet and Mem Gimel? Okay. Which two words am I talking about, and where is it coming from? I want you to appreciate how beautiful Tehillim is. Okay. Take a look carefully. Which words are here? Okay, there's Rinan Sasson with happiness, but there's two words here which we had earlier in the parak. There are two words, two very key words, actually several words, we had earlier in the parak, and goes back to our structure. Who here did God remember? We couldn't think because he remembered Brit Ben Abtarim. We think about it, but he just doesn't remember Dvar Kodesho. Okay? Yeah, exactly. But look what Rina's saying. It Avram Avdo and Brina et Avram. Where do we, in what pasuk do we have those words? Where do we have Avram Avdo? And where do we have the word Bechirav? His chosen one. What pasuk is that from? Okay, exactly. That's pasuk Vav. Remember we say pasuk Vav? Zer Avram Avdo v'nei Yaakov Bechirav. The nation commanded to praise him are the seed of Avram Avinu. The people of Israel that he chose, and now what are we saying at the end? God fulfilled his side of the covenant, okay, and took care of Avram Avdo and Yaakov Bechirav. Now, if you follow that structure, it's so beautiful, because what's it saying? Brit Ben Abtarim is a covenant. It's called a Brit. Now, most Britot, how many times do they have? Most Britot are one-sided or two-sided. You can use the chap and the answer is obvious. Most covenants, how many sides do they have? But almost by definition, a covenant is two-sided. Now, when you read Brit Ben Abtarim, it looks like it's one-sided. It looks like God's doing everything. I mean, maybe we have to suffer through this and go through this. But what's our, and Brit Ben Abtarim, what's our covenantal commitment? God's covenantal commitment is clear. God watches our history. He protected our forefathers. He took care of us in Egypt. He took us out of Egypt. He also put us into Egypt. He took us out. He saves us. He keeps his promise. So based on this parak, what's our side of the covenant? When God keeps his side of the covenant and gets involved in our history and saves us, what do we need to do? Okay? Exactly. See what Tov is saying? Okay? I know, we're going to get... Listen, there's a machloket between Tov and Malka, which is a machloket, which is awesome. Depends how we read the parak. Both are right, but we have to be careful what the parak is saying. Okay. What Tov is saying is, what's our job in this covenant? God's job in this covenant, according to Chumash, is to watch our history, take care of our history, and fulfill his promises. Now, that's what Chumash says. What the Chiddush of this Tanakh seems to be, is what's our side of the covenant? Our side of the covenant is when God does this, we have to praise him for it. We call that Hallel. Okay? But we call that Hallel. So we'll finish in 5 minutes, Alan, okay? Perfect. Okay. Mark, we're going to get to you in a minute. Okay. Now, we have to make with the Kladach Chiluk. I purposely didn't do the last two psukim yet. The last two psukim. Because there's two points here. One is, in the covenant of Brit Ben Abtarim, there's two sides here. Okay. God takes care of our history, and what do? When God gets involved in our history, it's our job, it's our obligation to praise him. Remember the opening question I think Roy had in the beginning, when he asked the question, why isn't this commandment to praise God universal? There is a universal element to it. And there's nothing wrong with other nations to praise God. But we of all people are commanded to praise God because we have a special relationship with him. Okay? What God is saying here is that God promised you a bit of terrain to watch your history, to guide it, right? To guide you, to train you to become His nation. It's our job, when God gets involved in our history, to praise Him for it. Now, there's another question. What was the purpose of this covenant? And that's what Mark's saying. That's Pasuk 45. I want to clarify this because this is, I think, the most important point. Okay? There's one question. What was the purpose of Britain of Tarim? Okay? Why was there a need to go down to Egypt, to come out of Egypt and give us the land, etc.? That's Pasuk 45, Bavur Yishmur Chukav, in order that we keep His laws. The purpose of this entire covenant is to have a nation representing God. How do we represent God? By keeping His laws. That's the purpose of the covenant. Okay? But what's our covenantal obligation in the covenant? For sure we have to keep the laws. But in addition to that, that's the purpose, to keep the laws. But our obligation is to praise God when He gets involved in our history, what we call Hallel. Now, let's take a look at the last two lines of the Torah from Mem Daled. Okay? Look at Mem Daled. And what we're going to see here is the land of Israel. Remember in the beginning, is the land of Israel a reward when we're doing God's will? Or is it a vehicle, a tool that we use in order to fulfill our purpose? Look at Pasuk Mem Daled. Now you understand we have the word Yerushal. God gave us land and lands of other people. And the hard work of other nations we inherited. If you remember Brit Ben of Tarim, the key word was Yerushal. I'm the God who came out of Egypt, Lurishta, Lameda Ki Irashena. Again, if you remember that sure in Brit Ben of Tarim, the word Yerushal is key. And therefore, God, at the end of this process, gives us the land of Israel, the land which once belonged to other nations. He's giving us now to do a better job as a Yerusha. But for what reason? In order that we keep His laws there. Okay? The land of Israel is a vehicle, is a place where we will keep God's laws and represent Him, and be the nation that's going to represent Him. And when God gets involved in that history, it's our obligation, our duty, to praise Him. That's It's our duty to praise God. But the purpose of the covenant is that we keep His laws, that we become a nation and represent Him. Our covenantal obligation of the covenant is we have to praise Him when He gets involved in our history. And that's what the Seder is about, and that's what Hallel is about. You understand? Now we have what's called, we have the header, we have the structure, and we have the point. Pretty much, that's what Mark's saying is the same in Chumash. If we don't obey 45, we don't get 44. Just read the Tochacha. That's the Tochacha in Vayikra, that's the Tochacha in Dvarim. That the land doesn't belong to us, the land belongs to God. First Rashi and Chumash. God gives us the land as a vehicle where we serve Him. And that idea that the land of Israel is a vehicle through which we fulfill our purpose of a nation representing God is such a basic theme in Chumash. And not just a reward when we're doing good, but a place to fulfill that goal. And God says if we do a lousy job, He'll kick us out like He kicked them out. But then ultimately He'll bring us back. That's a major theme in Chumash throughout. Now, I finished the first part of the show, I'll summarize it. Anyone wants to stay for part two? I know it's after 12:30, but in case you're awake, first let me summarize the main part of this year here, because what I want to show you here is I think this is the first version of Magid. Because one lesson we find here, we have a story of how God fulfilled Brit Ben Haftarim. But we have to see 47 Yisraelim, don't we? If I'm looking at this, what does Tidin Kufay do? What does Psalm 105 do? In essence, it's I think it was written for the Seder. Because what are we doing here? We're thanking God for Brit Ben Haftarim. We're thanking God for fulfilling, for making Brit Ben Haftarim and keeping it, and saying what's our obligation. It's our obligation to praise Him. And if you know Korban Pesach is the Korban Todah. Korban and Korban Pesach include the need to say Hallel. You say Hallel when you shecht it, and you say Hallel when you eat it. That's why we say Hallel at davening at night, and that's why we say Hallel as a Seder itself. Hallel originally was said together with the Korban Pesach. And this is a beautiful, poetic way of thanking God, not just for taking us out of Egypt, for putting us into Egypt to take us out of Egypt, we're thanking God for His involvement in Brit Ben Haftarim. We talked about this later, Baruch Shomer Hatzachato. We thank God for keeping His promise, and then we say, Vishandal Lavotenu Velanu. That promise of Brit Ben Haftarim was not only a one-time promise, it was for all generations. And that's one of the key statements that we drink to in Vishanda, in the Seder. Now, anyone wants to stay for part two, I want to add something. Which is really interesting. It sounds like we say this, it's a Devar Tiva, Lev Azor. In fact, it's for all generations. Now, Do we say this every morning or not? Everyone, we daven this in Sukkah Dezimra, don't we? Is this what we quote in Sukkah Dezimra? Are the first verse thing what we quote? It sounds very much like it. Does the other sitter take a look and see if that's what we quote? It definitely sounds like we say Sukkah Dezimra every day. Does anyone know for sure, is this what we do or not? Like I have you guys thumbs. If I wasn't asking, you would think, oh, this is what we quote this every morning. But if you look in your sitter, in Hodu, okay, it sounds very much like this parrot, but it's not. It's from Divrei Hayamim. And that's the other source sheet that I gave you. That's AG3. That's the second source sheet. If you have the time, you can look up Divrei Hayamim, Aleph Perek Tzayin, or you can look in your sitter. It's a quote from Divrei Hayamim. And it's very similar in the beginning, but if you read, look in your sitter, there's one key change that we make when we daven. The opening lines, in Divrei Hayamim, it's a story of when David brings Yaron to Yerushalayim. Remember, David, after he becomes king, I'll give a quick review of this. When David HaMelech becomes king, he brings Yaron, first he captures Yerushalayim, after he's king over all of Israel. He captures Yerushalayim and makes it the national capital. And then his first goal is, as a leader of the people, is to bring the Aron from Kiryat Yarim to Yerushalayim. And he makes it. Takes a while, there's some trouble, but he makes it. When he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim, he makes a big national gathering, and then he points a certain group of Levim, whose leader and head conductor is Asaf, that's the Asaf of Tehillim, which we have all the time, he's more than Asaf. He appoints he as the chief Levite, and then they sing a beautiful praise of God when the Aron comes to Yerushalayim. And that takes us up to Pasuk Zayin in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Tzayin. Vayomu Az Natan David Rosh Lodot Hashem V'Yad Asaf Yachav. And then we have what we quote in davening in Pasuk Chet. Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo Divan Milotav Shur Lo Zamr Lo, etc. But listen to how we change. I'm going to go ahead in the sitter. I'm going to read quickly. Zichrod Bitzvotav Asher Asah, Zera Yisrael Abdo Ben Yaakov Bechirav. Instead of Zera Abraham, it's Zera Yisrael, but very similar. Hu Hashem Elokeinu Bechor Tzvi Tzvotav. And if you have Divrei Hayamim in front of you, or your sitter, in Pasuk Tetzav, it says, Zichrun Lolam Brito Zavati Elef Dor. I'm going to read it again. And tell me how this is different than what we, that was in Tzivim, in the parallel, we're in Tzivim Pasachet. In Tzivim Kufay, we're in Pasachet. In Tzivim 105, Pasachet, it says, Zachar Lolam Brito. And here we say, Zichru Lolam Brito. What's the difference between Zachar and Zichru? Who can tell me? In Davi, we don't say Zachar Lolam Brito, we say Zichru Lolam Brito. Is that a statement or a command? Okay. Zichru means, again, it's our responsibility, but Zichru, is that a command or a statement? So, in Tehillim, it's a statement that God remembered his covenant. But here, in Tehillim, it's a command, isn't it? Zichru Lolam Brito. We have to command, we're commanded to keep his covenant. Now look at the setting, look how beautiful this is. Okay? David HaMelech is the new leader of the Jewish people. David HaMelech fought the people, right? They had trouble, there was war with their enemies, there was wars with the Plishtim, there was wars with Aram, there was wars from all over. And David finally got the whole nation together, and united them, and established a capital, and he's been successful, and the nation is now progressed and growing and prosperous. And he wants to thank God. He brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. And in essence, what's David HaMelech saying? God is watching our history. He's taking care of us. What does he want the Jewish people to do now that God's Aron is in Yerushalayim? What's he saying? Okay. He's not just thanking God. He's not asking God to fulfill his covenant. That he says God's done that. And therefore, what do we need to do? Okay. Look at Pasuk Tzayin and Zichru Lolam Brito. David HaMelech, or Asaf now, is telling the people, we have to remember our side of the covenant. Now, David HaMelech is telling the people, when he brings their own to Yerushalayim, that it's our job to remember our side of the covenant, what should David do next? Right? According to Tzidim Kufay, what's our side of the covenant? What did we just learn about? What was the point of Tzidim Kufay? The brief I'm telling is two-sided, and what's our side of the covenant? Wants to put it on the piece of chat, okay? It's our side of the covenant, like Mark's saying, to sing God's praises. Therefore, what should we do when God gets involved in our history, what do we need to do? What are we commanded to do? We need to sing Shir LaShem Shir Chadash. We need to sing God's praises. We have to say hello. Now, look in the parish, look in your sitter. Okay. When do we begin to fulfill this? In this parish. First we talk about what covenant God made. And we quote from Tehillim Kufay. Okay. But where do we begin singing God's praises? With what pasuk? Where in the sitter do we do this? Look carefully. Where do we begin singing God's praises? You do this every single day in davening. You don't take that. What I'm trying to show you, this is the reason for Pesukei Zimra. And that's why this is in Pesukei Zimra. Okay? Exactly. It's Pasach of Gimel and Dibra Yamin, Aleph. But in your Seder, it's Shiru Lashem Kol Aret, Pasach Yom Yishua Torah, Sapru Vagon, Kvodo, Bechol Amin, Nisvotav. That's exactly what Tzidin Kufay is saying we have to do. We have to sing God's praises. Here we do it. That's the reason why we say Pesukei Zimra every day. It's our covenantal obligation to sing God's praises. That's exactly Pesukei Zimra. And now you understand why Chazal put this parak in daily davening. In fact, according to one opinion in Chazal, this was the Shir Shayom on the Korban, a Tamid. That on the daily Korban, this was one of the daily songs they sang when they bought the Korban Tamid. And that's why originally, in the original development of Tefillah, this Tarek and Tirim, and this quote from Dibra Yamin, was said together with the Korbanot. Remember? Saying Korbanot in the morning was Keneged Korban Tamid, and this was the Shir Shayom, and this was originally put with the Korbanot. And that's why Minag Tzfar has it before Baruch Shamar. Later, when we disconnected it from Korbanot because of Rabbi Yishmael and added the Kaddish Rabbanan, so then we put it into Pesukei Zimra. Therefore, Ashkenaz puts it after Baruch Shamar. But that's all the history of Tefillah. But this is a beautiful Shir Shayom. And that's why all of a sudden, if you notice, this is Kabbalah Shabbos, isn't it? Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash, Sapar Vagim Ki Gero Hashem Mubalot Bukhule, Hod Vadar Lefanav. We're singing God's praises here. Why? That was the whole point of Tzidim Kufay. Then in our history, here we sing God's praises for nature. On our holidays, we sing God's praises for getting involved in our history. And therefore, to Seder, we're going to continue with this with Hallel Mitzrayim and Hallel Gadol. Okay. Now the reason why we diverge to Shiru instead of Mitzrayim is simple, because God's covenant. There's two covenants he makes with Abram. There's Milav, Rizan, and Sarim. But on a daily basis, God takes care of us through nature. There's the Gemara in Shabbat and Kuf Yud Chet in the second Shabbat, where it says that if you say Hallow every day, you're Machayim from Megadis, right? You can't say Hallow every day. Adi Gemara, we say Hallow every day. He says, that's Sukkot Zimra. What's the difference? When you thank God for nature you see every day. God, the hand of God, nature you see every day. That you have to praise God for every day. That's Pesukei Zimra. Pay attention to Pesukei Zimra, especially, you know, from Tehillah LeDavid, the last six parakim of Tehillim, those are thanking God for nature. Okay. Hallel that we say on Yom Tov, Hallel that we say on Pesach, and Shavuot, and Sukkot, and half of it on Rosh Chodesh, that's God in our history. So when we remember God taking us out of Egypt on Pesach, and God watching us through the desert on Sukkot, and giving and Shavuot, those are historical holidays, and therefore I thank God for my history. That's Hallel Mitzrayim. You follow? On a daily basis, we say Pesukei Zimra. Take a look later in Kuf Yud Chet, in Mesechet Shabbat Kuf Yud Chet, but they talk about that whole sugya of saying Hallel every day, as opposed to not every day you set Mitzrayim. Okay, now, why do you put Adi Asher into daily davening? That's really neat. That developed much later. That's a different minhag. And how we put that in, that sort of goes a little bit against what we're saying in but I think we're doing that because we want to get to Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Ve'ed. We're remembering what happened, and we're saying that's when God said, but that's what Rita's question is on the mark. You have to follow the how that minhag of davening developed. The original Pesukei Zimra did not include Adi Asher. In fact, if you look in the Rambam Siddur, Adi Asher is after Yishtabach. In the original minhag, Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach were the closed in Tilal David, the last six parakim of Tilim, and that was it. That was the Gemara Halav, that was the finish Halav every day. The Adi Asher part is an add-on, and by Baruch Debi, that's all an add-on later on. Why we added it on, that's the history, that needs a whole another Kitin Shir. I want to summarize what we did today, is I try to show you, now I hope you understand the title. The title was Tilim 105, is it, when you first looked at it, everyone thinks it's Psukei Dezimra. It's not Psukei Dezimra, but it's the reason for Psukei Dezimra. And what we quote from Divrei Hayamim is an application of Tehillim Kufei. By David HaMelech himself, when Am Yisrael, when our history is finally moving, and we're becoming a nation, and we have Yerushalayim, we're building up Yerushalayim, and we're bringing their own to Yerushalayim, we want to build a Mikdash in Yerushalayim. But I think when Kufei was originally written, it was written to be sung at the Seder, with the Korban Pesach, because what is it, in essence? It's thanking God for Brit Ben of Tarim, and that's exactly what the Seder's about. Now, we do that nowadays with Arami Avir Avi, which is another beautiful minhag. That's from the Mishnah, that we use Arami Avir Avi to tell the story, and we do it because we do it now in Galut. It's a whole different reason why we do that, which is also fine. But from my understanding of Tizen Kufei, it seems to me that this could have been used, there's no reason why it couldn't have been used to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipuri Set Mitzrayim at the Seder. Because it's thanking God for Bifan of Tarim, it's telling us that we have to sing God's praises, and this was beautifully lead right into Halal, Halal Mitzrayim, at the Seder. But what it does beautifully, it also explains, on the one hand, our covenantal commitment to Bifan of Tarim, but at the same time, it explains why God made that covenant. Why did God make the covenant? And why is He giving us the land of Israel? In order that we keep His mitzvot. Now, if you want to see the next thing we do in Psukei Dezimra, if you take a quick look at Kuf Vav, we won't do the whole thing, but I'll give you some homework. If you look in Kuf Vav, we have another command. In Kuf Vav, we're commanded to praise God. And then in Pasuk Ben, who's being commanded? The question, who could possibly sing God's praises? Okay? But the answer is Pasuk Gimel, Ashrei Shomer Mishpat, Oseh Tzedakah B'Choet. Who's worthy? We're saying Am Yisrael is commanded to sing God's praises. But who's worthy of singing God's praises? The answer is only people who do Tzedek U'Mishpat. That's Bavur Shmur Chukav. I mean, it's wonderful to sing God's praises, but the prerequisite of singing God's praises is following God's laws properly by doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. And then we continue, David HaMelech prays to God, help us out in our trouble. And then he says, we've sinned, we're terrible. Maybe we don't deserve your help. And then we have another lesson in Jewish history, just like Kufei, but exactly the opposite. In Kufei, we talked about how God kept His side of the covenant. In Kuvav, we talked about how we failed in our side of the covenant. And again, you have the whole story of what happened in Chumash, coming out of Egypt through the desert, coming into Israel, all the way through Sefer. From Yisrael, he's finding Sefer Shoftim. You have another review of Jewish history. But here, the review is not how God has been good to us, but how bad we've been to God. And at the end of the parak, David HaMelech says, even though we've been bad to you, you've saved us, even though we don't deserve it, because you remembered your covenant. And therefore, he asks in the end, David asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now we recognize our mistakes, we've sinned, he does it, it's like a long tachnun, we've sinned, we've done wrong, we recognize that, now save us, and if you save us, and bring us back to our land, then we'll praise you. And that's, and with notice, in Psukei Dezimra, we quote the first line of Kuf Vav, and the last line. These are like Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Kavzayin. We add that to Psukei Dezimra, and we say, Hod Vashem Kitab Zalam Chazdo, and Skip Reitu Vashinu, Hashinu, Elation, Vachafin Menagrim, Lodot Hashem Kodshecha. Again, that's a whole share on Kufa, but Kufan even continues it. That's a whole different unit. But my main point I wanted to get across today, in today's share, is that Tzidim Kufay is a beautiful, I hope I'm saying something right, that if you would use this for the Seder, you would be Geto Yotzei Sipuri Set Mitzrayim. Because you have here Sipuri Set Mitzrayim in a beautiful, poetic way, back since the time of David HaMelech, since the time the Sefer Tehillim was written. And what's beautiful about it, it also beautifully explains the purpose of Brit Ben Haftarim, how on the one hand God keeps His covenant, but it's our job to praise God and see the hand of God, how He keeps that covenant. And it's not only that generation, the whole Dor V'Dor. God takes care of us because of Brit Ben Haftarim, and therefore in every generation we have to say hello and thank God for His involvement in our history. And we have to recognize if something goes wrong, it's our fault. And when something goes right, we have to thank God for how He helps us. If people are successful and they think they're successful because of themselves, you're right, that leads to arrogance, what Irene is saying. 100% right. And therefore, the need to constantly praise Him and look at His hands. And that's the beautiful blend between Kufay and Kuvav. Kuvav is saying, every once in a while, we might not be worthy, but God comes and helps us. So we have to be trying to improve ourselves to be more and more worthy. And when God does help us, we don't pat ourselves in the back. We say, thanks to God for His help. And God's helping us so that we can help Him. Now, just one last line. If you go back to Kufei, remember the key pasuk of the Seder that we quote all the time? Vigan te levin chabim ulemor, ba'avur ze ata shami v'seitim v'mitzran. And that's the last source sheet, if you had it, that was on the website. Homachoket, which obviously we're not going to get to, but I'll just go over the key point of it. The pasuk that we say all the time, tell your children that day, ba'avur ze ata shami v'seitim v'mitzran. For the sake of this, God did for me these miracles taking me out of Egypt. There's an argument among the commentators, what do we tell our children? So we explain to our children why we're eating matzah. And we're eating matzah because God took us out of Egypt. Or what Rashi and Ebenezer say, no, we explain to our children why God took us out of Egypt. And why did God take us out of Egypt? In order that we keep it to be spoke like eating matzah, morar, and pesach. And today it's Rashi. Look at Rashi on later, and also especially Ebenezer is even stronger. And Shmuel Perik and Gimel Pasachet, the pasuk we say Tagar all the time, Vigat Levin Chavim Olemor Bavurze, Asa Shem Levin Seitim in Mitzrayim. But Rashi and Ebenezer explain, which is simple pshat of the pasuk, that we're saying that the reason why God took us out of Egypt was in order that we keep his mitzvot. The pasuk we say every day, and to remember he set Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elkechem Asher Oseiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Pachal Elohim. I took you out of Egypt in order to be your God. I took you out of Egypt so that you keep my law. That's before. Go back to the last line of Tizim Kufay and look how it says it. Look at the word it uses in Pasuk Memhei. And again, in Tizim Kufay, the last Pasuk, the last Pesukim, Vayitena Marchot Goyim Bamal Lamim Yirash, who gave us the land of other nations and we inherited it. For what reason? Ba'avur Yishmur Chukav. The Torah Tavim Torah, hallelujah. In order that we keep his laws and follow his Torah. Right? Is Tizim Kufay going like Rashi or Ramban? He's going like Rashi, isn't he? What's in Kufay? What's it saying here? The word Bavur is exactly from Nagara. It's from Bavur Zeth, Hashem did take him in Mitzrayim. When do we expect our children? Why did God take us out of Egypt? In order that we keep his laws. There's no doubt Tzidin Kufay is saying exactly what Rashi and Ebenezer is saying. That's how they're understanding that Pasuk and Chumash that way. That why did God take us out of Egypt? In order not just to eat. We're not eating matzah because God took us out of Egypt. God took us out of Egypt. Or we're eating matzah to remember. They got to get out of Egypt so that we would keep his law. And those were chosen in order, that involvement in our history is in order that we work for him. And that's the and God brought us close to him so that we serve him, and his name, Shimcha Gadol Aleinu Karata, and I want to conclude with the opening line of Magid that we begin our story with, in the beginning our forefathers were once coming from a world of idol worship, now God chose us, brought us close to him in order that we serve him. That's going to be the primary theme of our God of it. We remember our slavery to remember, not just to thank God for how he saved us, but also remember why he saved us, in order that we serve him. And we learn from our history. We remember the history, remember our suffering we went through, to sensitize us, to remember the need not to do that to others. To remember what happened to us in Egypt, and all the mitzvot, remember you were once a slave in Egypt. And therefore, be kind, be benevolent. You're representing God. You're a model nation. Keep that theme, keep that value. As a key value, as part of being Jewish. And therefore, we remember our slavery, not to remember what happened, remember why it happened, and how those events in our history are supposed to motivate us to be better servants of God and serving Him every day. Well, I want to wish everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I'll hang around if you have questions on the chat. I'd be more than happy to have her. But, If you have a 3-day yontif this year, those are chutzlars. So if you want to on Shabbos Hagadol, if you want something to learn and study for second Seder, if you want to do something innovative, you can take Tizim Kufay, and you have a whole share for your Seder. But I think it's.
You know, hi, Rabbi Menachem. How are you doing?
Okay, I want to thank Rabbi Kelman and E Team for providing this beautiful service, and we want to wish everybody out.
11 down to.